You're listening to Misunderstood Podcast, where we are setting the record straight on all things misunderstood. I'm your host, Kelly Hall Sabraki, pageant runner-up, model, speaker, wife, and U.S. Navy lieutenant. I may have never won a Miss USA title, but I am the queen of being misunderstood. Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome back, friends, family, loved ones, followers, and fans of Austin Sabraki. Kelly and Austin Sabraki are here on the show today for the grand season finale. Austin, welcome. How are you?
Back at it again.
Back at it again. I am so honestly nervous to be here. So nervous to be here because I have taken quite a hiatus. I actually think my last podcast recording was in May and it's December, which is kind of wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. Used to be cooped up in the room all the time doing podcasts. So it's interesting to see you back with the mic.
Interesting. What the heck? What does that mean? Interesting.
No, it's just
I'm a busy gal.
I know. It's just been a long time since you were last recording. So,
but are you happy or are you mad that I'm recording again? Because when I'm recording, that means I have to drag you to the microphone. I don't know if that makes you happy.
No, I'm only an occasional guest, but I'm glad to see you back.
Oh, thanks, sweetheart. We're going to get into a little bit of why I've taken this hiatus. And by no means, when I start a project, do I ever plan on abandoning it? Man, that's a hard word to say. But there are some reasons why I didn't feel compelled to show up to the mic. And I want to dig a little bit into those misunderstandings. Austin and I were brainstorming prior to the show. Here we are. It's a typical Tuesday night. And we both worked really hard today. It is dark. It is late. Dale is being a crazy little puppy, but we cracked open a drink and we're going to record this podcast for you all as we wrap up our 2023. And I think it's important as our tradition continues for us to continue to give followers kind of a little recap of what our year has been like. So thank you so much for being here. Cheers. Let's do a quick cheers. What you drinking there, babe?
A little bourbon.
Bourbon on a Tuesday. I'm actually
only
drinking
special occasions.
Oh, is this a special occasion?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, thank you. I feel so special. I'm drinking a mom water, which I recently went to an influencer event, and it was an event for mom water. It's literally water and vodka infused with fruit, which you would think is like not that great, but I feel like it just hits just right when you're not going for something too crazy. So anyways, cheers, babe.
Cheers.
You drank and you just put the drink down. You didn't even cheers me. What the heck?
Well, now I just drank twice.
All right.
Buzz for the podcast.
What?
Just kidding.
All right. So we were brainstorming and just very quickly, we realized that the theme kind of the podcast is the most misunderstood thing about my 2023, I believe, is that Instagram really only shows part of my story. That's what everybody sees, right? They see my Instagram, they see my feed, they see my posts. And I'll be honest, I feel like I'm getting pretty dang good at it. Like, I have a rhythm, I have a digital camera, I have time dedicated to it. Like, I'm fast, I'm really good at creating content pretty quickly and getting it out to everyone. But guess what? I don't say it's not showing the real story. I think it's truly only capturing part of my story. And you're the one that actually corrected me on that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, your Instagram also shows more of my story than my own Instagram shows. So
I think that's just a byproduct of being married to me.
I know.
So. But this isn't about you.
Yeah. But yeah, only part of it. I mean, I feel like there's, you know, social media. You can, you know, you post what's exciting, you post what's fun, but sometimes you got to post what's not so fun, but at the end of the day, can't truly capture exactly what's going on in someone's life. Yeah. And what you've been going through as well.
I have been going through a tough time. But I will say, that in therapy a couple weeks ago, I told my therapist, I was like, you know, I struggle because I feel like half of my life is going like a dream. You know, I live in this beautiful city apartment with my incredible husband, who I think was perfectly selected for me, with his adorable dog.
Hey, yo.
And the opportunities that I've had are opportunities I, a couple years ago, wouldn't even believe. The friend group I've established here, I'm so happy and proud of my friends. Like, I truly love them. Like, we're building this Chicago community. I actively find myself stopping and like just taking in the moment throughout this year. Like, wow, like we've done this, you know? So there's that 50%. And then I told my therapist this other 50% is struggling in my role as a leader, struggling with imposter syndrome, struggling with family, struggling moving forward and trying to figure out like my mental health and like creating boundaries. And she said, Kelly, I think you have the ratio wrong or the percentage is wrong. Because for a while I was walking around, you know, Chicago and day to day being like, oh, 50% of my life is great. 50% of my life I'm struggling in, really, really struggling. She's like, I really think it's more of like a 70-30 split. Like, you're putting a lot of emphasis on those things that aren't going quite the way that you expected them to. And that really kind of was the kick in the pants I needed to reshape my thoughts. Because you think it's 50-50, but you're focusing so much on the negative that you think it's a bigger problem than it actually is. So with that, let's start with some of the positive. Before I get into, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about like some of the hardships, but positive things that happened to us this year. You started a new job. Yay, Austin. I know the followers want to know. You don't have to give as many details as you want, but what's your job now?
Yeah. So now I work more. I've always been in the tech space, but I still work in the tech and now marketing space, which is something I wanted to get into. And I do new business development for a staffing company in the tech and digital marketing space.
That all just sounds really fancy and really corporate to this old military gal. Congratulations, Austin. Cheers to that. Another cheers. Sip your bourbon, sip my vodka. Happy Tuesday. That's incredible. I started my new job as executive officer, which definitely had its pros and cons and has been a huge shift for me. We moved from, we were living in, well, now we can say it. We were living in right across from Wrigley Field for the first 2 years here in Chicago. And we moved further into downtown, which we love. What would you say is the best part about making this transition and moving into downtown?
Best part, I would say, first of all, we loved where we lived. Great neighborhood. A lot of spots to walk. Definitely more of a bar scene. It started, there was some good food, but definitely more of a bar scene, where now we live in way more of a food scene, which is what we love. We're also a short walk to the true downtown. But we also love the neighborhood that we live in. There's a lot to do.
So much to do. It's a very like young professional vibes. I'd say like 28 to 35, like that kind of, you know, no children, you know, that kind of thing. So it's been really, really fun. Also, it's exciting. I got selected for Lieutenant Commander. Found that out. That was a really big goal achieved. And I had some pretty exciting collaborations. Well, I designed year two of my swimsuit line. I did an open model call on my Instagram. Oh, I would love to unpack that for a second. I did record an episode about this completely, but holy cow, I was talking to Sam. She's been on the show before. She's one of my closest friends. And it was her idea. She was like, oh, you should like post on your Instagram that you're looking for models. And I had dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of followers submit for this model call. And that was like one of the biggest highlights of my year, because I was like, holy crap, this is bigger than I thought it was. Not me. I'm not bigger than I think I am. Like this movement, like women wanting to find their confidence and model for the first time and show that they can do both. Like that was really incredible. So I had 5 girls travel to Chicago, another 5 in Chicago model for me. And so 10 of us modeled for my second year of my swimsuit collab. And then I worked with Kyle Kavine to design my first ever jewelry collection and model for that as well. That was super scary, but really, really cool. I've done some really awesome collaborations with some incredible Chicago businesses here as well. Yeah, and then I just feel like we've gotten really close with the Chicago community through housewarming parties, party buses, you know, all that fun stuff. So yeah. I think it's been an incredible year. Do you have a word to describe and encapsulate your 2023?
I'd probably just say eventful.
I'm going to say, God, it's so hard to say one word. And this is my own question, so I should have prepared it earlier. I say transformational. Transformational in the way I learned a lot about myself. And unfortunately, a lot of it was through hardship. Mm-hmm. But I think it's hardships I need to go through to transform me into, you know, continuing to transform me into a better person, a better leader, a better wife, a better friend. I stepped away from the podcast because it's hard for me to show up and give advice when sometimes I'm the person that needs advice, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like I want to be inspirational and I want to be positive and I want to be able to give tangible tips all the time. But sometimes I also need to step away and go through something transformational so then I can show up and provide you with guidance on the journey that I just went through. And the way that I've been kind of relating it to is like authors, they take years sometimes between books, between novels, right? And they go out and they travel and they explore and they fall in love and they fail and they pick themselves up. And then they write about it. They channel all of those things they learned into some sort of beautiful narrative. And for podcasting, you're expected to produce an episode every single week, no matter what. And for the people who do it full time, like that's what they do. And they're very transparent with their audience. But for me, not being full time in podcasting or influencing and being full time as an officer, that has to be my focus, is being an officer. And sometimes I have to encourage myself first to get through that primary role and responsibility. And I may not have the words to encourage others that day, or I may only have the energy to encourage those who are working for me. So yeah, I think what I've been going through since, you know, checking in as an executive officer, it hasn't been what I expected. And I think in a way it's a good thing because it's a beautiful reminder that you always have something to learn. When you think that you've achieved like success, like, oh, like I know what I'm doing and I've got my stride and I feel really, really great and accomplished, God is going to remind you that there's still growth to be had and not to get too comfortable. And I think that's the phase I've been in for the last 6 months, is he's making me uncomfortable and I'm having to learn how to navigate myself as a leader when things don't come easy or personalities clash. Or maybe you need to adjust your leadership style to figure out like what works. So it's been a lot. Yeah. But I do feel like it's been transformational.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I think it'll be helpful for you to provide like your biggest takeaway or biggest piece of advice that you've learned. And I think also it just goes to show, you know, all these mental health, I think, can be taken, you know, there's two routes for it, right? It's like it can be a small thing that you just have to get through personally, or it can be a super serious thing in nature that you have to take care of. And I think that's why it's got such a big light on it, and for good reason. But you obviously have to be in a great headspace for yourself before you can try to help others. So, but yeah, I think it'd be helpful if you share a takeaway or...
Oh, thanks, babe.
Or just a takeaway or your biggest piece of advice for... at least for you, what you're, you know, how you've gotten through what you've gotten through. It might be different for others, but doesn't hurt to share.
I'm so proud of you, my little podcast host, asking me questions.
That is my podcast, by the way.
Get out of here. And I think it's almost exactly what you just said. I think the biggest takeaway as I've faced really personal challenges over the last 6 months specifically has been you truly are no good to others if you're not being good to yourself. And I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but I think that's where the imposter syndrome comes from. It's because I just want to uplift others. It's like my intention all the time. I just want to, you know, leave a room better than I found it. I want to leave a command better than I found it. I want to leave our home better than I found it, you know? Like, I hope when I'm with you, I lift you up and I make you better and I encourage you and I make you happier. And I hope I do that with my friends and I hope I do that with my coworkers. And that's the complete intention behind my social media, is that hopefully when someone visits my page or listens to my podcast or sees my content, they take away even the smallest nugget that they can apply to their own life and realize, like, oh, I'm not in this alone, or I feel seen, or if she can do it, maybe I can too. Like, I'm just a normal woman who grew up in Virginia who just decided to say yes to a lot of opportunities. And so there's a lot of, you've heard this quote, like, pressure is a privilege. I feel like as I keep moving up in these experiences or a following or my career, there's pressure that I maintain this inspirational and like positive and like Kelly will have advice, you know, like that kind of thing. And yet I'm going through it too. Like, this is the first time I've done life also. It's the first time I've been a wife. This is the first time I've been an executive officer. It's the first time I've been a lieutenant commander select. This is the first time I've navigated being married and still trying to make time for girlfriends. Like, it's all our first time. So with that, like you said, it took me a second to realize, yes, I might be dealing with imposter syndrome because I can't project this perfect life. And that's not realistic, but I need to make time for me. And I think that's been the biggest difference over the last 6 months. I started therapy to talk about personal struggles and, you know, family issues. I also prioritized back in July, I started working out again. Started waking up in the morning. I know you hate it. I know you hate me waking up early in the morning because it gets you up. But that has made a big difference too, eating healthy. And then also factoring in like truly the things that make me the happiest. I leave work and I know I'm going to happy hour with my girlfriends. I leave work and I know that we are just chilling on the couch and watching a movie that night. Like, I am prioritizing the things that really fill my cup, and I'm also eliminating anything that's not. And I am protecting that. Like, I'm truly I say no. And that was my resolution for 2023 was to say no more. And I'm really proud of myself because I know I accomplished that.
No, I think that's great advice. And I, you know, one of the things that you did that I supported or I tried to push you to do was therapy. And I feel like sometimes I truly think it's more normalized now, but I feel like you can definitely, it's not a bad thing to support a spouse to go to therapy. And it, especially if it's just something personal and it's going to help them. I mean, you can only do so much. And sometimes it's good to get another perspective, and you're not going to be able to, as a spouse, fix every single problem or be, I'm a guy who feels like I can give the best advice ever and I can fix every single
problem. You do give a lot of great advice, sweetie.
And I'm stubborn, so I feel like I can fix every single issue that's going on.
You do feel like you can fix everything.
It's just, it's not a bad thing to ask for help or ask a spouse to get help for whatever, right?
Well, I appreciate you supporting me so much because I got to a point where this was, again, back in like, you know, June, July, like I said, struggling for about the last 6 months now. But I just felt every time I came home in the evening, I called it venting, but it's not a good sign to me if you're coming home venting every day about life, work, family, and that's all we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And so there's only so much advice you can give as a spouse. Like, you're not a professional. And so by finding a therapist, which, thank God, you know, there are definitely some resources out there. Military One Source is a great resource. They'll give up to 6 free sessions for military and dependents for therapy. But finding someone else to talk to who is licensed clinically is great, because then you can talk to them. And guess what? I update you on what I talked about in therapy, yeah, which I'm happy we have that kind of relationship where I feel like I can. But that's not all we talk about anymore. Now I feel like I can move on. You know, I can talk about all the other amazingly positive things I have going on in my life. So it's not like a sponge, like soaking up all of our energy all the time. And I think that's been the most beautiful part, is like, there's so much pressure on your spouse if they're the only person you're going to for advice, or you're quote venting to about work, life, friendships, relationships, whatever. That's a lot on you, and it's not fair. So I'm really, really happy I found a professional outlet to give me that clinical advice where they have to listen to me, because you and I can really move forward, and she's providing me with those like tools in my toolkit to, from an outside opinion, like give me that clarity. Yeah. So I think that that's been a really beautiful thing, and it is making me stronger. You know, here we are rounding out the end of the year, and I'm going to less therapy sessions, yeah, which I feel like is kind of always the goal, is that eventually you want to feel like you are strong enough to implement those tools and move forward. And I'm really excited for what's ahead. And I think it's also made me realize like how many positives I do have in my life. They definitely outweigh the negatives that I've been facing. So just on the podcast, another cheers. Thank you. I really couldn't get through this without you and your support. And thank you for encouraging me to see someone. So I couldn't have done it without you. I love you.
Love you too. I also...
Cheers. You did it again, where we went to cheers and you put the glass down. It's got to be bad luck. You got to cheers me again. Chugging the bourbon. No, I'm kidding. He's not chugging, I promise. All right.
They just call it a big sip.
Big sip.
No. Yeah.
From Austin.
All right. We're going to get into some questions and stuff. Last note on that. I think as a spouse, you can definitely be a sounding board. You can give great advice. You're always going to be a supportive partner, but sometimes you got to be humble enough to realize that you can't fix every single problem. Sometimes it just depends on the scenario. All right.
You can't just say like the most wonderfully romantic things and then just move on. I'm about to cry all over again over here. My goodness. All right. We're moving on. Austin has questions for me.
We're getting Kelly off the mom water.
That's what it is. It's making me extra emotional. This episode is not sponsored.
Yeah, Kelly actually told me to say these names, so sorry if I butcher them. But these questions, we're going to mix 2 questions together because they're very similar. But
where do these questions come from, Austin? They came from my Instagram. We did an open Q&A.
Yeah, not just, yeah. Open Q&A, Instagram, Lauren Lunar, hashtag. How do you get out of the roommate phase with your spouse? And then from another Lauren Central over here, Lauren Lomanicki, nice last name. How do you keep things spicy in your marriage?
Well, my hope is that we never were in the roommate phase. I know a lot of people get into that, but I hope we're not in it. Or are we in it? Are we in it right now? Is that what's happening?
Uh-huh.
Shut up.
How to avoid it?
Okay. Well, how to avoid it? Yeah, I think this is my biggest fear. And this is like, do I not talk to you about this all the time?
No, yeah, we do. We talk about
I feel like since we've been dating, I was like, I don't want to be roommates. I think it takes a little bit of like proactive work, because it's so easy. And granted, like, I mean, you and I have been together for 5 years. You know, I get it. We're still, quote, new. Are we newlyweds? What's the time frame for that? Have we expired that date?
I think so. After.
Okay. Well, maybe we're not. I feel like we're still newlyweds technically, but I think you just have to be proactive about it. So I always, always, always try to avoid complacency. And I think complacency happens when, in like the little moments. So for example, and you know, this is true, you work from home. So if I come home and you don't get up to greet me with a kiss, I say something. Because to me, that is the difference again between like a roommate and like a husband and wife. I think it's important in a relationship for you to like get up and greet your spouse with a hug, with an embrace, with a kiss, with a like, hi, honey, how are you? How was your day? Those are like little gestures that you could implement. Personally, another thing that I do is I work hard to do all of my social media before I enter the door. And if I don't get to it or I have something to do, I communicate that with you. So what does that mean? I'm not going to be on my phone as best as possible for hours and hours and hours and hours, because that can easily happen when you're creating content. I can make a video in a half an hour and then boom, that's 30 minutes out of our evening. I'm focusing on my phone. So I'll try to be proactive about doing that stuff before I come to the door. So that way in the evening, it's truly like you and I. But I think in general, you know, I think we do a great job of planning date nights with each other. And date nights don't mean going out to a restaurant. We do that. Mm-hmm. But I'd say on average, we do that like twice a month. We don't even do it that often. We plan date nights like you order the wine and paint set, and we'll do that at our house. And then we like made cookies. That was like a fun thing that we did this week. We made Christmas cookies together. This whole month we've been marathoning Christmas movies. Like I just love that we always factor quality time in, like without phones, without other people, like just the two of us, and we really protect that. So I feel like those are little things that you can do instead of just coming home, sitting on the couch, banging on your phone, going to bed, putting on Netflix. Like we kind of shake that off and we work hard not to get complacent. What do you think, babes? I think that answers the spicy question too. Yeah. Because like the other day, I mean, your hands were like incredibly sticky from the cookie dough and it was a little gross. But like, maybe that's a different kind of spice, but it changes things up. And I just love that it's different. And we're like laughing and giggling together. And like when we went ice skating, you know, ice skating a couple of weeks ago, like, yeah, spicy in the fact that like there's forms of spice in laughter too. And like feeling like a kid and like you're dating, you know, even though you're married.
Definitely. And I think like everything, I mean, you can do expensive options. You can do cheap options. Like there's a bunch you can do with each other that make it fun. I mean, we do dinner every night. And I think that's something easy that you can just do is like have dinner, talk through it. Sometimes you both had a long day and you just don't want to talk, and that's fine. But I think also the little things that we do that I know Kelly mentioned a lot of like small things, but I think the other things that we do is, you know, we like found a really fun spot we love that you can go to for happy hour. And even if you don't drink, or like you don't enjoy a drink, like this spot, same thing, like happy hour has food. So you can just go out and have fun. Yeah, Trivoli.
I was like, you're talking about Trivoli, right? I like whispered it. And I was like, you can say shout out Trivoli Tavern. Their happy hour is the best.
Yeah, but they're just walking distance. It's just something where if you've been in the house, it's something to be able to get out and just cut distractions out of the picture. And then we do try to take trips. And I think we've done a lot better job at just like one night getaways. And I think that's super important. If you get to a point where you feel like you've been complacent, especially in the winter when it's super easy to just do nothing. If you live in a cold town or city, it's just easy, you know, like do a night getaway somewhere, something cheap and easy, but something that can, you know, just like takes everything out of the picture of getting out of your house. So,
yeah. And I will say on the expensive note, you get more creative when you're not trying to spend money.
Yeah.
Because you just can't afford to go out to eat every other night. Like you got to get crafty. What's your next question, babes?
With that being said, save up so you can do something a little more lavish on occasion.
We love lavish.
All right. Next question. We talked about this a little, but just balancing Jewel Mittels.
Who is it from and what's the question? Come on, Podcast King.
This is from Jewel Mittels, I think. I don't know. I might be wrong. But how do you balance work and personal life? We're going to do a podcast on pronouncing names. Instagram names.
What's the question, Austin?
How do you balance work and personal life?
Okay. We're getting off track here.
Just talked a good amount about that.
Yeah. I think for me, I'm a scheduler. I schedule every part of my life that's important. So like, obviously, work is work, but I schedule my workouts in advance as part of my day. I schedule my time with you in advance, like literally a week out. I'll be like, hey, we're doing a date night on Tuesday, or we're staying in this day. But I think I also set boundaries at work. And one of the best pieces of advice I've ever had was from my senior chief when I was out in Los Angeles. And I would check emails sometimes, like, this is dangerous, right? On your phone. Like, I have email on my phone. So I would check emails sometimes just after work. I'd glance at them whenever we were trying to watch a movie. I'd be like, oh, whatever, check on my phone. And then that would not only get me thinking about work again instead of relaxing, but I would send emails in response. I'd be like, oh, well, while I have it up, I'll respond to an email. Here's the problem with that. Number one, you think it's harmless because you're responding to an email after 6 p.m. Oh, maybe it shows I'm a hard worker. Maybe it will show my boss that I'm enthusiastic about my job. What it's actually communicating is two things. Number one, you were sending an email past 6 p.m. and now your subordinates are seeing that you're sending an email past 6 p.m. So now you're communicating with them that they should not only be checking their email past 6 p.m., but there's an expectation that they should also be checking email and sending emails and working after 6 p.m., which is unhealthy. And what a good boss should be doing is scheduling that email to be sent out to the next morning or not responding to email until the next morning, because you as a boss should also be respecting their boundaries in the evening, their personal time, their family. There should not be an expectation that they're checking email at night. So I actively, unless it's an emergency, I do not respond to work texts and I do not respond to work emails until the next day. So people know my time with my husband is my time with my husband. Again, I get it. You know, I'm in charge of people. I will definitely respond if there's an emergency. But if it's not, it can wait. And those are boundaries I started placing about 4 years ago. And I think that's definitely helped with my work-life balance because I flipped that switch from XO Sabraki, Lieutenant Sabraki, over to Kelly. And that is important to me in my journey as I continue to do both. Next question, Austin Sabraki. Let's see if you get this username right.
These usernames are tough. So we can kind of group these two together too. So Chaotic Cassidy asks, tips for finding who's right for you and listening to your heart over your brain or vice versa. And then the next one from Jasmine H. Summer, how to put in position yourself out there while trusting God has the perfect man for you. So we're going to group these together because it's all about finding the right person.
I love these questions so much. I actually have a full podcast on them back in season one about finding finding like your non-negotiables while you're single. I think it's important to name them and understand them. So in response to like finding who's right for you, and then trusting God's plan, for me, one, I prayed a lot. By praying a lot, I mean, I really prayed a lot about my partner. I prayed for you before I ever met you. I prayed for my future husband. And I prayed that God would make it clear for me. These were all active prayers I would have walking to the train or going on a run or while I was in the shower. I would say, Lord, like, please just make it very transparent for me, like who I'm supposed to be with. Which helped when I met you, but then also helped on my journey when I was navigating what was the right man for me. So, you know, I dated the soft-spoken guy. I dated the reserved guy. I dated the controlling guy. I dated the Marine. I dated the military guy. Like, I dated all of these different types of guys that I was like, let me see what this is like. Let me see what this is like. And through that, I even dated a guy who hunted. Isn't that weird? I can't picture myself with a guy who hunts now. But I'm clearly didn't work out, but through all those different things, I realized, okay, I'm going to need a guy who is a Christian, who not only is has his own faith walk, but like respects mine, family oriented, because that's important to me. And I really want to have a close family unit in my own life moving forward because I didn't grow up with that. I need someone who's career driven because I am, and I need them to have that hustle with me. I need someone who is incredibly outgoing, because up until that point, I dated a lot of guys who were not, and they just didn't get me. They didn't get why I was so outgoing and I needed to talk to everyone in the room and why I was so social and why my social battery filled my cup. And so with that, I kept analyzing what wasn't working and why it wasn't working, and then why I needed to apply that into my future relationship or my future husband. So meeting you, and you're staring at me because you've heard this speech 100 times, but the puzzle pieces just fit so perfectly because I prayed and found clarity through all of that. And as soon as you and I started dating more seriously and like getting to know each other, by like the fifth date, I was in awe because you had hit every single wicket, every single thing I was praying for. And it just fit like a perfect puzzle piece. It scared me. And that's why I was like, wow, this is the clarity I've been praying for. Like, it just fits. This is a perfect match. And we're not perfect by any means, but we complement each other. My recommendation is that while you're single, you really figure out what those non-negotiables are, because you think, oh, I'll get used to that. Or, oh, that's something we can work through. Or maybe I can change that. There is nothing I have changed about you. Maybe your timeliness, because you're always late when I met you, but you married a girl in the military. But there's nothing I felt like I needed to change or we needed to work on ever. We've improved qualities about us and like our characteristics, but there's nothing that we needed to change fundamentally about ourselves. So yeah, I don't know if you have anything else to say. I kind of covered it all.
Yeah. That's just Kelly's opinion. No.
What the heck? It's called misunderstood, not Mr. Understood. Let's get that straight.
This is where you'll find the differences with Kelly and I, where she says she changed my timeliness. I made her way more chill and way more relaxed as a person. But with that being said, I feel like to that point, like dating, like it's like a teeter-totter. Like you got to find what balances you out. You also can't be afraid to date, find what's good and bad and what you like and don't like. And then you got to truly, you do have to have non-negotiables. You got to have the things that you can't negotiate, but you got to be flexible in a sense, right?
So what were like two of your non-negotiables and what were you looking for in a partner?
I feel like mine was the same, pretty similar to you. I just needed somebody who was social, outgoing, willing to do things spontaneously and have fun. And then, you know, somebody who was very family oriented. I think that was really my two things, which aren't terrible.
Were you looking for a gal who was multi-passionate and had 17 hobbies and worked 17-hour days on both her career and her side hustles? Is that something you were looking for?
No, but I love football, so it kind of worked out because I can watch football while you do all your crazy stuff.
All about balance, baby. All right, do you have any more questions for me? Because I have one more for you.
No, we're out. We're done.
We're out. We're out with questions. Well, honey, as we get ready to wrap up the podcast, move into 2024. What the heck? That's actually insane to say. 2020 was like yesterday. How is it 2024? I'd love to find out what are some practices that we want to focus on next year in our personal lives, you know, whether it's work, personal goals, and then some practices we want to bring in to improve and continue strengthening our marriage next year.
I feel like we put a few in place. Yours are a little more difficult than me, but for me, it is, I feel like you work an 8-to-5 job or whatever job you work, you get fulfilled through your job and that can fulfill you through your personal life or just make your personal life easier, right? And better. So one, put into your job what you would put into your personal life, but also only do a job that you're going to love.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid.
That's like advice you're giving to listeners or something that you were implementing?
No, it was just something I implemented technically this year because I changed jobs to be happier. So that one's just like, I figured I would just say that because I'm not implementing that next year, but but that's a big thing. And then because outside of that, it's really just, I don't think there's a whole lot I'm going to change. You know, I think it's just making sure that we continue to do what makes us happy, right? Like continue to invest in each other and do trips and take the time to do unique things and just don't get complacent. That's really it.
I love that. I completely agree with you. I think we're already on a path that I'm really proud of. So practices, I'm going to continue. This word keeps flashing in my mind. it's the word execute. You know, I mentioned transformational, like this year has been transformational, but I really have been like growing and transforming for 31 years. I feel in my heart like God is placing this next year in my way to execute, you know, as a leader, as a lieutenant commander, as I'm pursuing something pretty big next year, TBD, I will share soon, but execute, do it now. So I'm going to continue those practices, those 5:45 wake up calls to work out, the healthy eating habits, the therapy, the time with friends, the time with you, like prioritizing self-care, continuing that to prepare myself for the execution of what God is planning to use me for. And then practices in our marriage. I love that this year we found creative ways to spend time together because we're trying to save money, save for our future. And that made us more, we had to work harder because if you sometimes, like if you're just like, oh, book a nice dinner. Well, in Chicago, that's like $250. You can't just spend $250 on dinner every night. So you have to work hard to get creative on, oh, a $20 Amazon set to build a gingerbread house, you know? But those have turned into the most fun times we've had together. So I want to continue those experiences and that spontaneity. I do think that we should do better of no phones in the evenings, less phone time, because someone likes to check his sports scores all the time, every second. Of every day.
This is what you call recency bias. It's because it's been football.
Where did you learn that term?
Don't worry about it.
You definitely saw it on LinkedIn like today. I've never heard you use that term.
Yeah, because I haven't had to until now. I was waiting to pull it out.
Recency bias.
But it is. It's
an Ohio State education, folks.
Yeah. Well, technically, yeah, it is. But anyways, this is recency bias because football's been on a lot and she knows I'm a football fan, so she's worried about the phones.
Okay, you can't blame football. I've literally walked into a room when there was no sports on TV in season and you were watching squash because you just like to watch sports that much.
I've never watched squash in my life.
I have caught you watching squash, literally.
Kelly probably thinks squash is like tennis because she's not very sports.
It's basic. It is like tennis. Recency bias. All right. Cheers to working on no phones and continuing the path we're on.
And recency bias.
And recency bias. What is the definition of recency bias?
I just told you.
Okay.
It means that it's because football's been on in the last like 2-3 months.
Is this a real term? I'm Googling this right now.
See?
No, I think you just made it up. Googling recency bias.
You may not spell it right. We got to be prepared for that.
Oh my God, it is a real word. Recency bias is the tendency to overemphasize the importance of recent experiences or latest information we possess in estimating future events.
You like that? See? Perfect.
That's the smartest thing you've said in a while. Because usually you're using words like bruh.
For the record, that's a win for the Ohio State and a loss for the Naval Academy.
You're so annoying. And on that note, folks, cheers to 2023. It was a heck of a year. And I'm just so grateful for you. Thanks for being the best partner. And I'm not saying this because I'm recently biased.
She's pronouncing it wrong already.
I'm saying this because the common theme in my life and my happiness is you. Thank you for just being the greatest partner in the world. I love you.
Thanks, babe. Love you too.
Cheers. 2024. Let's go. You're not cheersing me again.
All right. It's been too many of them.
Cheers. Thanks, guys. Tune in next year on Misunderstood Podcast. We're out. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. I love hearing from you guys, and I want you to take a screenshot of this episode, tag at misunderstood.podcast on Instagram, and share a takeaway from today's episode. Something you loved, something you wanted more of, whatever it is, it helps me learn what you guys want to hear. Please consider leaving a review on iTunes or Spotify.
I want to give a special shout out to my friends at Hatch for producing this episode. If you're looking to launch a podcast, or if you already have one, you can get unlimited podcast editing by visiting usehatch.fm. That's usehatch.fm. Thanks so much, guys. Until next week, this is your Misunderstood, Kelly Hall. The views and opinions presented here in this episode are those of myself and do not necessarily represent the views of the DoD or its components. Appearance of or reference to any commercial products or services does not constitute DoD endorsement in those products or services. The appearance of external hyperlinks does not constitute DoD endorsement of the linked websites or of the information, products, or services therein.